You know, when a leaf falls from the tree, it's not going to trash. It's going on the ground. It's being transformed by all the microbes. It's getting fertilizer for the other seeds when it comes. It's just this amazing ecosystem. So in the industry, cradle-to-cradle design is to replicate that in the industry level, that someone is trash or becomes a resource, and then it's upcycled, and then nothing touches the ground and pollutes the earth.
Welcome back to another episode of How Are You Helping, the podcast that brings to you notable leaders of purpose-driven organizations who share the mindsets, attitudes, and beliefs that got them focused on living a compassionate, altruistic life or career. I'm your host, Sean Riley, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of How Are You Helping. Hollywood and the Los Angeles film industry is slowly starting to reopen production, having reopened mid-June after shutting down for 3 months to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Thomas Schlamm, president of the Directors Guild of America, said, "We knew the only way forward was to consult with leading medical experts and let science guide us to the right approach for our unique work environments." The industry is working to get back on its feet under a new set of guidelines. A joint report called The Safe Way Forward, established by the unions, and health and safety guidelines prepared by the industry-wide Labor Management Safety Committee Task Force. There are several new guidelines production companies have to factor in, from workplace social distancing to the use of personal protective equipment and regular sanitation and testing to designating a COVID-19 compliance officer. Understanding the new rules and processes is the job for people like my next guest. Virginie Drouot, CEO and founder of Eco Mindset, is responsible for all the things that go into COVID-19 compliance and creating a safe environment for production in Hollywood, and also aims to enhance the sustainability of sets by reducing production pollution one set at a time. She founded this company after years working as a producer in the entertainment business, and I have the wonderful opportunity to speak with her today. Welcome to How Are You Helping, Virginie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Sean.
I want to start off the podcast by discussing the state of Hollywood and the Los Angeles film industry right now under the new COVID-19 guidelines, how your company has pivoted from a full list of sustainability services to now providing COVID-19 sanitation services, and then I want to spend the second part of the episode talking about yourself, what drew you to social entrepreneurship, and then we'll end the show with some rapid-fire questions. Let's begin with Eco Mindset. Can you tell me what Eco Mindset does and what value-adding services it provides on set?
So we are a sustainability service, and we provide compostable single-item use. We do recycling on set. We upcycle sets. We do everything to reduce carbon footprint for production. And then during COVID, we expanded to compliance.
And what has been your experience with productions going back to work? What are they experiencing?
It's a bit of a chaos, although production people are problem solvers and they all want to go back to set in a safe way. So we've been experiencing a lot of miscommunication, misinformation. So our production community is getting together to make sure that everybody understands the guidelines from CDC, OSHA, Safe Way Forward, the unions, and make sure that we can go back on set safely. So it's been busy on the commercial side since June, little shoots trying to go back to work. And there's also big productions that are sometimes, I mean, there's successful stories and there's nightmarish stories, but it's been busy slowly but surely in LA.
What do you think have been some of the differentiators between the more successful productions and some of the, you know, the horror stories that you've seen on set?
Right. So there's different factors. The first one, I would say, prep time. Some producers and clients don't have enough budget for enough preparation. So they have only, they give maybe 5 to 4 days to production to come up with a COVID plan and all that is necessary to be doing it safely. So that's one. And then the second one would be communication. There's a lot of people that are uneducated. They only rely on the compliance officer, but that's a new position that everybody is rushing in to be, you know, informed. So yeah, there's a lot of misinformation. I think that's part of the nightmarish stories that I got out there, but hopefully there's more successful stories than nightmarish. So it seems like Hollywood is getting a grasp of the COVID compliance.
Awesome. And I checked out your IMDb page and read that you've worked on such big name movies such as Solaris, Fracture, and Hostage. And more recently, you have producer credits on award-winning films like Shoebox and Emily. What is it that you saw on set that prompted you to reduce waste, offer compostable items, and create this environmentally conscious company? When did the realization occur, and can you tell us about that moment?
Yes, it happened 2 years ago, 2018, to be exact, in April 2018, where I got really sick myself. So I was overworked. I was doing production, way too many productions. And I didn't realize how overworked and tired I was. And then I was looking at my own set, seeing all the trash, and then going back home depressed, and then going on the social media, seeing all the plastic in the ocean and feeling bad. And then all that came to a realization that if I didn't do something, if I didn't get better myself, health-wise and on my own set, nothing was going to work, you know, with change. So I came to realize I needed to change something in my life in order to be able to change something outside on my own set. And that's how I came to meditation. And the whole process of that gave me, Eco Mindset came through meditation. The whole concept of it was kind of like I finally sat down and listened to the voice that we all have inside, and
wow.
It came to me, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. And that's how I realized that was beautiful, because I didn't have to feel bad and depressed. I could actually lead and make change on my own set, taking the lead and making it happen.
And what type of meditation were you practicing?
So it started after I read this book called You're Badass by Jen Sincero. And she was like, just sit down for 5 minutes and repeat the same word, positive word, and then see what happens. So I started with that and I picked the word love. I was like, oh, let's see what happens with that. And then I felt so relaxed and so back like in trust mode instead of survival mode. I was like, wow, there's really something there in meditation. And then I YouTubed and looked. And I got into the one from Mind Valley, from Vision, and it's called the six-phase meditation. And you go through different emotions of love, gratitude, forgiveness, bliss. And then you visualize your perfect day. And then you visualize your life in 3 years. And then you thank the universe for all of it, and you start your day. And that was really, really powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tips that you can share with our audience in regards to helping stay afloat during these unprecedented times?
Yes, definitely. And thank you for asking. So something that I've been myself experiencing and thanking COVID for it is that I've been the healthiest I've been since ever, since I can remember. And I changed my eating habits into plant-based diets for like 3 months now. And then I did a gentle detox with a detox tea I can share with you. It cleared my, not only cleans my body, but cleared my mind. And that really brought stress relief. I sleep as better as I can remember. And eating all those vegetables and taking off all that meat of my diet really, really makes a difference. And you don't realize that because you're such in a habit mode, like, oh yeah, they told me to. And then when you start questioning and trying new things that are good for you, you actually feel better somehow.
So Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
No, it's not the end, it's only the beginning. So I'm excited.
That's incredible. Can you tell us about your relationship with Upcyclia and how we can create a circular economy on set?
Yes, so absolutely. I've been wanting to work with them for the past 6 years, and that's because their mission is to really change the world and bring circular economy into different fields, especially in the buildings. But I've been in close touch with them, and when I called her and say, "Hey, I need your help. I'm creating eco mindset. If there's a way you and I can work together in reducing carbon footprint for our, movie sets and studios, let me know." And she loved that idea. And actually, the conception of sets is where we can introduce the circular economy into the movie industry. So basically, when you build a set, you use a lot of resources. You use tons of lumber. And you just like put it in a way that it's cheap and fast, and you staple and you nail. And but at the end of the movie, after 6, 8 weeks, or maybe 6 months, depending on how big your movie is, pre-COVID, we were building all those huge sets inside studios, Warner Brothers or Universal. And after that, it's tons and tons of wood that you put in the bin that you can't do anything about it because it was not conceived properly. So the end product ends up in our trash, ends up in our landfill, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm talking about tons of trees and lumber. So we are working into with set designers and set builders to somehow find a way to conceive a movie set in a way where we can upcycle or reuse at least the lumbers or the support of a set. Some other kind of material. So it's going to take years. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but it's a beautiful mission that I really, really feel passionate about and want to convince the big studios to go for it.
Great, great. That's wonderful. Can you speak a little bit to how important it is to provide composting services on a movie set? When is it that it really struck you how important it is to take care of the waste that, these movie studios are causing?
I mean, because let's just take a TV show. You're talking about 100 crew per day for like 6 months. One would be 6 days a week. So you can imagine the ton of food that are wasted where we could just, if we take the time and the effort in putting it back to our Mother Earth, like farmers markets or farmers out there even. There is a company in LA that's trying to provide that, and it's not easy now. It's even harder now to implement sustainability on set because of COVID, because of the social distancing and not touching anything and being contaminated altogether. So LA is it's very much behind that composting of food scrap. San Francisco has a better system. And other states have a better system. It's just LA, we're a little behind. But it's important because you're talking about tons of CO2 and greenhouse gas that are being just produced from our landfill where we bury tons of food scraps coming from restaurants or caterers or,
Awesome. It's so important to have a team when starting out a new venture and bringing it to scale. Can you speak about someone on your team that's made an incredible impact and what strengths they've brought to the table?
Yes, that would be Business Consulting, a stellar company. It Jessa and Laurel, they brought networking, and it's essential because they brought me, I have this 100% recycled trash bag in my company, and we are the first one to ever carry that in the film industry because we trash so
Wow.
much. So at least we have a first generation 100% recycled trash bags. So that's that much plastic that we don't put back in nature. But I wanted to meet their CEO and, you know, like go further into the business with them. And I was not getting anywhere until Stellar Echo got, we partnered. And because of their networking and their personability and everything that they stand for, we were able to meet the CEO within like a week. So we flew to Kansas, to Wichita, and we finally had an amazing meeting with this amazing company called Envision. And they manufacture our trash bags and they create employment opportunities for the blind and impaired vision people. And it's an amazing mission that they have. They're a nonprofit. They have daycare for blind kids. They have a whole research building for the eye diseases or physical therapy for people that are losing their sight. I mean, it's just incredible people to be able to help in that way.
That's very inspiring and incredible. I know the film industry is changing quickly to adapt to the new guidelines right now. Who are some of your past clients, and do you have any particularly memorable moments while working in production? What were some of your favorite projects that you got to work on?
Pre-COVID?
Yeah, you mean? Pre-COVID, probably. Unless there's any recently.
No, unfortunately not yet. but so my favorite. So in my feature film years, I would say Hostage was one of my favorite ones because I worked 15 months on this project, and I saw it from the rewriting to the premiere that in New York. So it was really amazing to see how a movie is made from A to Z, how it's been rewritten 4 or 5 times. That was truly a really amazing experience. On the commercial side, because I've done a lot of 6-7 years of commercials, it's hard to decide. It's hard to pick one over the other. I guess one was Nike, where they had to build this humongous parkour on the side of a building and in the Paramount back lot, and then rehearse at night and shoot at night. It was just
wow,
amazing.
That's really cool.
Oh, if I can add the one, I'm going to tell you the one with Jason Stratham also that I saw. It was for LG, and where you, I don't know if you remember that commercial, but it has his face everywhere on a baby, on a woman, and then he's like, that was very intense. We didn't sleep for like 3 days because one of the stunts just couldn't work. So we had to bring a second team to shoot at the same time than the first team on the Paramount lot, one after the other for like a good 15 hours. So we had two units going action, cut, action, cut, action, cut, action, cut. Incredible. I've never seen that before, but the producer was just an amazing lady and made it happen.
Wow. And you said you were on set for 15 hours straight?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Oh, my gosh.
Easily.
We probably won't see that happening again after COVID.
I hope not. I hope that put an end to that. But
Awesome. Now, did you have to get a certificate to become a COVID-19 certified? Or can you tell me about what training is like and what that entails?
It is preferred if you get certified. There's tons of different certification you can have. I got my one from Health Solution Services. I recommend you take the one from WHO also. A lot of people are taking it. I've got OSHA certified also. You don't have to, you know, there's no law, there's no rules for it. But if you want to go be good at what you do and then get a good position as a compliance officer, I highly recommend you go into look certification out there. And it's it takes from 2 to 4 hours or 10 hours. It depends on the certification that you take.
Well, I want to now dig deeper behind your motives behind helping the climate. So I wanted to start off with the TORI project. I think our audience will benefit greatly from knowing some of your takeaways from this program. What did you learn from attending this boot camp? And how does stakeholder-focused capitalism, as opposed to shareholder capitalism, better the world?
It's an amazing cohort that brings at least 10 to 12 social young entrepreneur in their early phase, and I highly recommend you apply for their program. Even if this year it might be booked or might not be available, maybe the years after, but make yourself known to this nonprofit, because they're really, all the experts and all the teachers there are here to guide us as young entrepreneur. And, you know, I've been working freelance and, you know, years before, I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship, although I want to make a difference and I wanted to be good at what I created. So they're really guiding you on what to look for on the agreements, on ventures, raising money, how to and where, and the different business model. There's 20 business models that you could be looking to, and you don't know half of them. They're really here to make your project, your company successful. And it is making a big difference, because the founder of the Tori Project used to work for the stakeholder company. So it's his redemption to be able to help entrepreneurs like us and make us successful and stop wasting resources, stop hurting the planet with stakeholder companies.
So you can have a company that's for profit, but it's also for purpose, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can't, I mean, money is an energy and it's an exchange. You can't do better in the world if you don't have that money. You can be starving, you can be a little small business trying to not make money. I mean, you can be a nonprofit and make tons of money and raising a lot of money and make a big difference, but you can also have profit and put it in the 1% planet or be a B Corp. There's thousands of ways that you can contribute to the betterment of the planet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of companies starting to become B Corps recently, so that's definitely an emerging trend that we'll probably see more of. Can you tell me about your trip to Hawaii and what it taught you about taking better care of the environment?
Yeah, so Hawaii is a magical place. So I highly recommend it to anyone. I mean, as soon as COVID, you can go there. It's a magical place. And that made me realize I needed to preserve the treasure, our paradise. Like, paradise is not anywhere else but on this earth. And I just felt really, really strongly connected, and I wanted to honor that. So that inspired me very much to make a big difference on the world, and that keeps me going, because I want to go back as soon as it reopens.
Man, yeah. Me too. Do you have a favorite island on Hawaii?
Yes, Kauai.
Kauai, yeah. Favorite. Nice.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. How about you?
I've only been to Maui, so I love Maui. But I'd love to check out any of the other islands as well.
Yeah. Have you been to Rotuhana?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, you should do it. It's a beautiful road.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely check it out.
On the coast.
Now, whether you find altruism to be a purely selfless act or whether it has benefits that also improve your own condition, I find the question of why people serve and do selfless things very fascinating. So I'd like to ask you, Virginie, can you name any specific examples of life events or moments in your life that have influenced your work today, your altruism toward the environment, and your work to benefit the planet for future generations? What do you think drove you to this work? If you can give us like one or two examples.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is being a parent. And I had to look at my daughter in her eyes, and I have to become someone else. I have to be making a difference for you, for giving you the earth I had the chance to live on as a kid. I didn't have to worry about, you know, recycling and things like that, or hurting the planet, or, you know, I mean, it is stressful to be a kid nowadays, I think. There's so much pressure in any other level, but that was a big thing, was to realize as a parent I had responsibility to make a difference, not only, you know, in my daughter's education, but also in my world, for my legacy, for saying at least I've tried to make it better for you, and I know she knows that. I know she wants to make it better on her end too. So that was, and then a second event. I'm not sure. It's just same thing. It's just once you tap in that meditation and in that world of having that at heart, there's no going back. So that was really like that waking up call of, wow, I can actually make a difference myself.
Okay, so it was really that aha moment that you had that really flipped the switch that, made you want to make changes in the world. It was that moment in 2018, you think?
It was April 2018. And then it was just this idea, and then bringing it to life, and then coming up with the name came so easily. And then the synchronicity was just really, truly, the universe was just unfolding the how. And I was just following her steps. And I got into, like, for example, there's a lot of resources, free resources for young entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs in the women business centers. I mean, it's open to men too, but there's a lot of great events there where you can meet a lot of great people. The University of Laverne has grants to help young entrepreneurs to do their business plan for free. Business plans is like the biggest obstacle when a young entrepreneur starts to be loan ready. It's a lot of work, and you can feel discouraged. But the Laverne University has their business department, and they help you work with you for free to get you loan ready. And at the end of the month, you have a business plan.
What's the name of the university?
Laverne,
Laverne.
California. Yeah, Laverne.
And was there any particular mentor or teacher that helped you along your way, that taught you something from Laverne University, or thinking back on your schooling at any point, was there maybe a teacher that reached out to you or helped you along the way that encouraged you to help others in the climate?
So I would say it's Christine from FC Clea for sure. Very, I admire her because she's been in that environment fight for the past 20 years. She got into it with the cradle to cradle design, and it was created about 15 years ago. And it's basically conceiving an object in such a way that you can upcycle it, and it never touches the ground. And it's like replicating what nature does in little ecosystem. You know, when a leaf falls from the tree, it's not going to trash. It's going on the ground. It's being transformed by all the microbes. It's getting fertilizer for the other seeds when it comes. It's just this amazing ecosystem. So in the industry, cradle to cradle design is to replicate that in the industry level. That someone is trash or becomes a resource, and then it's upcycled, and then nothing touches the ground and pollutes the earth.
That's awesome. I love that you're carrying on her legacy and continuing that
I love it.
circular
I love it. I love it. She inspires
economy.
me. And then the Torii Project offers a year of mentorship. So David Ferran, the founder, has been a great support in my venture.
So, how do you think that people can take better care of the planet? How can listeners take action on helping the planet, and what would be a good first step for them?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's different first steps you can do. So the first one I would say that's most important is to take care of yourself. That's the first step. It's like in a plane, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help others. So you can have indoor composting if you have access to a little garden. You can do garden towers now. If you don't have a garden, you can put a tower in your patio, on your balcony, and you can grow actually your own lettuce or your own radish or that kind of thing. I would say to take care of you, meaning eat well, put a lot of greens in your body that will reignite your energy level. Will be You have no idea until you try. It helped me tremendously with that. I was feeling fatigued, and the stress add to it. So take care of it, recycle as much as you can. Like, try to put the plastic on the sides and not in the regular trash, because they're going to be polluting our landfill. So think recycling and composting as much as you can, and then put healthy food in your body, healthy drinks, drink a lot of water. And if you need more information about detoxing and all that, I'll be so happy to help you on that because it helps you a lot.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Virginie. Yeah, and listeners, make sure to follow her steps, her guidance. She's really an expert in this field, so she knows what she's talking about. So definitely take it from Virginie herself.
Well, thank you. Yeah, because a healthy mindset is going to bring a healthy planet. There is no way around it. Once you're healthy inside, you're going to want to have a healthy planet around you.
That's great advice. What types of challenges or rewards has parenting during the COVID-19 pandemic brought along with it? Have you learned any valuable lessons on parenting that you want to pass on to the listeners?
Ooh, that's a good one. patience. and then just do things for yourself as a parent, and you will inspire your kid instead of forcing the kid to do so much because you're stressing out. He's going to waste his time. Just do things for yourself, and he's going to be inspired to do it for himself too. My daughter is 13 years old, so I'm really talking for preteens. I know it can be a lot harder for younger teens, but yeah, patience, open the dialogue. It's like quality time times 100 during COVID, and you don't know what to do with it. So just sit down and talk to your kid. This is a great opportunity to do it and really know. I've learned so much about my daughter that I don't think it would have taken me years to really figure it out. But she's a strong, amazing, kind lady that I'm learning to learn every day. And it's really so special.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right. So I want to finish the show off with a round of rapid fire questions. The first rapid fire question is, where did you grow up and where do you live now?
So I grew up in Courtisal, France, in the country of Courtisal, and I live in Los Angeles, California now.
Awesome. Can you say something in French for us?
Oui, je sais pas. J'adore le chocolat et le champagne.
Thank you for that. What does that mean?
I love chocolate and champagne.
Very cool. Very cool. Who are your top three biggest heroes, role models, or mentors? And in a nutshell, why do you look up to them?
Wow, that's huge. The first one would be Albert Einstein, because every time I'm just blown away by the simplicity of his quotes and profoundness of his work. The second one, mentor, I would say Mary Morrissey. She's been in my life lately, and I've followed so many of her classes, and she's really inspiring for success and betterness, and really open up your gift that you have inside. So that's exciting. And then superhero, I guess I would say Robert Downey Jr. really helped me at some point, because I was divorcing and work wasn't doing so well. I was doing like 2008 crash. So work. So anyway, it was a dark times, and I wasn't too happy at work. And I remember thinking about what can I be doing that would help me be a better mom, a better person. What can I do? And then I thought about Robert Downey Jr. hitting rock bottom and thinking, what did he do to get out of it? Because it was Sherlock Holmes at the time. And I was like, oh, martial arts. And I was like, that's right. He did martial art, and that kind of saved his life. Maybe I should be looking into it. So I started martial arts, and I did three and a half years of it, and it saved my life. So yes, Robert Downey Jr., hands it down.
Wow, that's really cool. You don't hear a lot of people say Iron Man, but yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. And I had the pleasure to meet him recently last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we shot a documentary with him, so... I met my hero.
Very cool. What is your favorite quote? Who said it, and why is it your favorite?
Okay, so my favorite quote is from Albert Einstein, and it says, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed, without changing our thinking. And to me, it was really profound on realizing if I keep my old thinking, the same old world is going to unfold in front of me. But if I, the moment I change my thinking, and it's very empowering, you can actually change the world around you. And that's that has a lot of power. And that's why I loved it. And I think about it every day. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I can change my world.
That's really powerful. Yeah.
It's really profound.
What's the biggest challenge that you've overcome on your journey with social entrepreneurship?
Money. Money and putting a team together. It's challenging. It's a beautiful fight. You learn a lot along the way, but don't get discouraged. Everything is an awesome timing. And you don't have the money now that you're hoping is because there's a block somewhere that you need to analyze and move over to transcend it. Like you're like, oh, I don't have money because probably you blaming not having money because of so-and-so, because of him not doing that, da-da-da. But really, what I've learned through the incubator is, like, you don't have the money you wish for right now for your business because you haven't looked inside you, and what is it that's blocking you from bringing your team and bringing that money? Yeah.
Money itself can be an art form, and so it's really important to learn, you know, your money mindset and everything. So
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It's not because you get into a business or you're going to go into a social enterprise that you're automatically going to make millions or be successful right away. So it's a great lesson along the way. Like, oh my God, yeah, I had money blockage. So now I can go further.
Yeah, it's a practice.
It's a practice, yeah.
And final question, why do you love helping others?
It gives me so much joy. I don't see why I wouldn't. Seeing everybody smile on, like, pre-COVID, I brought my sustainability items on set and I saw the joy on everybody's face. I'm like, oh, finally I can make a difference myself. And thank you, Virginie, for bringing bottles for us and making it happen for us. I didn't know what else to do. And it was just like, wow, I like that. Make people happy. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks for answering those. And how can listeners stay in touch with the work that you're doing or even reach out to you for services if they're a production company that's looking for COVID-19 compliance assistance?
So yeah, they can go on my website. It's EcoMindset. It's EcoMind and then -set.com. They can also email me at Virginie@EcoMindset.com or info@EcoMindset.com.
And should they follow you on Instagram?
Yes, we're on Instagram, EcoMindset Inc. And Facebook also, Eco Mindset.
And I will include those in the show notes as well.
Sweet.
And Virginie, I just want to acknowledge you for your beautiful ambition of saving our planet, fighting climate change, and preventing the spread of COVID-19 through your work with Eco Mindset. I love that you combine your passion with purpose and that you are unwavering in your steadfast commitment to helping the planet, even in these crazy times. So thank you so much for offering your time to us to be on this podcast.
Thank you, Sean, for having me. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Virginie. Regardless of your opinion of COVID-19, and believe me, I've heard it all, and I know there is a lot of scary information out there, I'm with you and I hear you. So I appreciate you for listening today and staying informed. But regardless of what we hear in the 24-hour news cycle, we really have to thank people like Virginie who are starting companies that are literally saving lives by helping production companies practice safety on set with their crews and helping them be more sustainable. There has already been a death of an assistant director in Austin, Texas due to the coronavirus, renewing concerns of the film industry's potential to facilitate transmission on crowded sets. That's why we have to be extra diligent and careful as Hollywood reopens and encourage others to do the same, especially as flu season is upon us. We have to be prepared, and that means doing the simple things like washing our hands, safe social distancing, and shooting film outdoors. Together, we'll get through this. I appreciate you all for listening to this episode. And as always, stay compassionate and generous, and I hope this interview taught you something you can implement in your daily life, whether it's trying on a plant-based diet for a few months, meditating, or becoming that healthier, more joyful version of yourself so that you can spread some of that energy and kindness to others. Thanks for listening to this episode. Share it with your friends. And please leave us a review and remember to rate us 5 stars if you enjoyed listening to this podcast. Thank you.